Welcome back to week three of the Between the Lines Lads podcast, sponsored by Killshot Handball Gloves. In something of a quiet week in Ireland, we look back on stop number five of the race right in the LA Athletic Club, and we look forward to the O'Neills.com Senior Doubles Championship. Chris may still be smarting from defeat on Thursday night that he probably doesn't want to talk about, and Paul has probably checked out before his holidays to America next week. Lads, how is the form? How are we getting on?
Definitely.
All
Why
good.
are you
All
bringing
good.
up my handball form? That's not fair, man.
No.
Especially when we lose. That's not good. But anyway, we'll get into this. You're using
All
those intros as a weapon now, and I'm not liking it. And you've got rid of your Claire accessory glasses, which I'm also not
look,
happy
it's my intros are becoming a preemptive strike.
about. You
Very
just got
topical at the moment.
the target on your back.
Yeah, I think weaponizing the intro now is a little bit rich. Like, well,
Yeah.
I'm still laughing at when you said that you are probably the weakest handballer of the three on last week's pod. Like, like sitting in a room, it's like me sitting in a room with Brad Pitt and whoever else is a handsome Hollywood actor, and going, I'm probably the least good looking here in this room. I mean, look, if we're going to put the stats on that one, I'm happy enough. Paul, playing one wall over 40s double or doubles in one wall. Have you won any doubles titles on the Euro tour? Yeah, I did. I got two medals for the doubles in London. I did. I played
What a
doubles
team.
with both lads on this pod in the over 40s. I think you were both in your 30s at the
Yeah. But anyway,
as
get away from our let's get off our own rubbish standard of handball at the moment. We'll
Yeah, race for ace. Let's kick straight over to LA.
yeah.
I called it wrong. I called it for Molly Dagg in the ladies.
You should be used to that at this stage.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But she was thereabouts the semi-final against Niamh Heflin. It was there for the taking. I think she left it behind her a little bit. I doubt she'd be happy with it because it was definitely one that she could have won. It was she 10-6 up in the tiebreaker. Probably should have seen it out from there, but Niamh digs in again and then kicks on in the final. The final wasn't, you
Niamh's
know,
really
quite what
enjoying
it
those race for age events, isn't she? She goes out there and she's cleaning up. She's won four in a row from the trip she's gone out there now, and she's playing. She seems to really go out there with the right approach, if nothing else. Because I'm
was.
sure she was
Yeah,
very disappointed after the senior singles against Sienna.
I wonder, lads,
Absolutely, she's.
is it harder than ever now to combine sort of playing successfully in America and in Ireland? When you consider the difference in the ball and the courts, like I saw a clip of Martin Mulcairn's absolutely flat rolling one on social media the other day. Brilliant shot by Martin, but I was looking at it going, that's a different sport than we're playing over here. It's so different. The speed that the ball is moving at, and how the ball even reacts to the front wall. It's a totally different ball.
I think we saw when the American players came over here for the Worlds that none of them really were the standout players in the championship. You know, like they all equipped themselves pretty well and they all looked good at times, but Jimmer took out Ray Yeur,
It was
Peter
tiebreaker
Function,
though, wasn't
Peter Function beat Daniil Cordova. You know, so you're having these ones where you're like, if Nash went over to America at the moment, Ray Yeur is a different animal, like.
it? Hmm. Yeah,
So,
100
I'm not saying
100%.
that Nash wouldn't beat Ray Yeur, but like David went over there and he lost to a 40-year-old, 41-year-old Sean Lennon, and now Sean might be very good with the Irish ball as well, but and they're kind of similar in styles as their weird unorthodox players, David and Sean, like.
I think they call what's the name that Dave Fink and Dave Vincent have on Lennon?
The
Freak, I think
free.
it is.
The
Like,
freeze, yeah.
which is a good name, but I think both lads are in the same category, Walsh and Lennon in the same category. That brings to mind the the Freudian phrase that the Irish are the only race that are
impervious to
impervious to
psychoanalysis.
psychoanalysis. Yeah, like there's a bit of that with Lenin and Walsh with their styles of play. They're really that you can't really analyze them. Like Lenin is just going to stand in the short line and just do mental shit with on fly killing the ball and doing mad things with his wrists. And I think he could do that to any player. I think he still has the potential to do that to any player.
He played some amount of handball last weekend. He won the senior race for it. I think he played three or four matches in that. And then in the main draw, he got to the quarterfinals, was it? So he played three matches. And I think he probably played seven matches over 2 or 3 days.
Up
Some
going.
man handball.
What was the upset of the men's draw? I'm looking at the draw here now. I
I
think
think
Burgos beating Ray Orr.
and
Massive.
Dylan Hernandez getting to the quarterfinal, the 22 seat, was a big shock. Like, he took out Mark Doyle, he
In a
took
game
out,
of Canales then.
he went close with Leo. He beat John Alvarado Bike as well in the first round, so taking out the 9th seed and then the 8th seed back to back. So
Yeah, and then ran into Canales, and like Canales, in fairness, he like with respect to the lads he played, they're all good players, but he had a bit of a dream draw, didn't he, to the final? Like he had Aidan Brulé from Tucson, who's a young up and comer, Dylan Schmidt from Texas, then he runs into Dylan Hernandez, who had done a lot of heavy lifting for him by taking out Pike and Doyle, and then in fairness, he had a good win against Luis Cordova in a tiebreaker.
tell
He was in
you,
against Mulcairns. He almost closed it out against Mulcairns, but Martin had too much for him.
there's some crazy runs there. Like, what you got? Sean Lennon was 9-0 down against, or Dave Walsh was 9-0 up against Sean Lennon, and he ended up losing that match in the final. Martin Mulcairns was he 13, 11-0 down, 12-0 down?
11 or 12, yeah, definitely.
12, I think he was 12-0 down, and only like Leo only got one more point after that. And then he was 9-0 down in the second, and he only made one more point after that as well. So you get losing 15-1 runs in two games in a row.
I think as well, one of the things I can't remember which player was talking about, it could have been on social media, talking about the heat in the LA Athletic Club was something unbelievable. So the
Yeah,
ball's going to be moving that much faster now.
Niamh mentioned it after her final, that the heat was outrageous, and you could see the players wilting a bit. Like, even at times, and Martin's usually very strong, he started looking like he was really empty in the tank when it was getting to 12 or 13 all or whatever. It's like he was shooting everywhere, like.
I sometimes say about Court 3 in Kings Court, I'd be saying to the Kings Court lads, like it's too hot. It is too hot, and the answer is, why don't you go and play somewhere cold like St. Pat's and see how you happen? And I said, no, it's too cold. You understand? You can be,
For
it can't
totally
it can
lots.
it can be too something like we want you want there has to be an optimum temperature for the court. A lot of courts in Ireland are too cold, but that doesn't mean if you make a court like hot yoga, unbearably warm, that's necessarily better. Like so I think those sometimes some of those American courts are insane. And there is the odd court in Ireland as well that's just too
That
hot. Like
court 3 in Kings Court is face meltingly hot.
it's a furnace. And
Joe Dillon last year in the in your kill shot tournament, and I was just like, this is not fun at all.
it's not fun playing Dylan anyway, but playing him in an oven definitely doesn't help things. What do you think, lads, of the current state of the Pro Tour? Like that's a good deep draw there. Like what is there over 40 players in that draw?
I think they're flying, to be honest. I think the standard's really good. See that? Did you see that? There's one clip, and the match point that Burgos against Rayur, where Rayur goes to flatten the ball. Burgos does this crazy dive and re-kills it for the match. Oh, what a point! Like, it's class. So I think they seem to be going really, really well at the moment, and I think the ball, like the differences in the ball, really suit some of the players that they've got on the tour. Like, Martin hits the ball like a tank. Like, so does Sean Lennon, so does Lucho, and especially Ray Yur. That
Yeah.
ball pings, it flies like, and the Irish ball just isn't that, you know. And
Is that something that, we need to address? Is it something we need to look at, is changing our ball to match theirs or theirs to match ours? Because I don't
I
think you're
think
getting a true sense of what who is the best small alley player in the world when you've got how many came over for the Worlds and none of them gets past the quarterfinal stage. And then we
this
go
is
over
what
there and David Walsh is number one or two in Ireland and he's 10th seed over there and he's getting beaten surprisingly. You're back to what you're saying. It's a different game. Is it something that we need to address? Has the ball gotten like
I think we
I
want
haven't
to have.
seen I haven't seen the Irish ball be burst in I don't know how long, which is brilliant if you're trying to save a few bob. But has that slowed it down? Is it have they become more durable
Balls
and
also don't last long. I did like they're not. They go dead pretty quickly, the Irish ones. But like the Irish ball seems to take a massive kick. So when you have someone that spins the ball like David does, like it looks like magic, but it spins huge. Whereas the American ball doesn't seem to be taking the same kick. I don't know, maybe, and but it is traveling a lot faster.
yeah, it's harder. So it's not, I don't think it gets as much connection with the floor to take that kick.
Yeah,
It's not
maybe.
just sitting on the floor for that extra millisecond, which I think imparts the spin on it. One thing we do in handball is something happens, something becomes the established norm. And we never think of what happened before that. We never think, hold on, this is we have drifted to this position here. We need to just sort of retrace our steps and move back. And that's happened in 100 different areas. Like 1,000 different things have happened where something has come in. It might have been like a wrong-headed decision. Suddenly it's like that's one of the Ten Commandments. We don't go back on that. One of the things is the ball. The ball in handball always came in a pressurized can. Like
Yeah.
surely there was a reason for that. So suddenly we move to this sort of utopian situation where oh you don't need a little pressurized can anymore. It comes in a little cardboard box. And it's going to be fine. It's going to stay good. It's going to be the same ball. It's just not. It's not the same ball. The ball is too dead now at this stage, for me. And the ball itself is not fast enough. And I think the ball doesn't last long enough. And
They definitely don't last long enough. Definitely not.
you
They
remember the old
like,
feeling, Chris, where you flipped open a can, you heard the little, you got it
yeah.
out, and you were like, deadly. This is class. This is a
Yeah.
new ball, and you love pinging it around. Now you don't get that. A new ball is actually you have to warm it up, a new ball.
Well, ev everyone's bringing a water bottle with them everywhere, or like flasks and stuff like that. Like every handballer has like. There's a water bottle in my car all the time. It's mental. So, yeah,
Those
they.
balls need to be looked at because the O'Neill's one ball is unusable. It's a very poor ball. So like in fairness, they use the pen ball in the Worlds, I think. And that was a real admission because O'Neill's were the sponsors and yet we used the pen ball in the Worlds. So that was an admission.
But the
It had to be
pen
pretty.
ball is, it's unbelievable. It lasts so well. And they're like the bang for your buck. You can buy, what was it, 12 of them for 25 quid or something. At certain times, you can get a big tub of them.
On kill shot, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I won't be showing them how the sausage is made, Chris. Or Steve, same thing.
I'm John.
But yeah, like the yeah, there's if like if they're going down the direction like O'Neill's have been the sponsor the last couple of years and it's great or whatever, but I don't know if they I don't think the ball in Ireland I don't think anyone's really happy with it. You know, like the fact that you go through so many of them if you're playing a lot. Because like you can't like when you can't be tearing the arm off yourself playing with a dead ball. But those
Well,
ones in the
I'm just
ones
assuming
in the
O'Neill's.
hands lasted way longer.
I'm just assuming though, and O'Neill's have probably zero to do with the making of the ball and are just putting their name on it. Like O'Neill's don't have a ball factory. Are they just shipping it from wherever it's made and calling it something else?
I don't
Don't
know.
know. I don't know.
But I that you definitely would imagine that the ball could be improved and. It's important to start that conversation. Just because that ball is what it is now, it doesn't mean that that's that's our ball and we deal with that from now on. You can improve that. Just because X, Y, and Z is the case in handball doesn't mean that we can't, step it back and have a look and say, how do we get here?
I feel a segue
Let's get talking about this, lads.
coming.
It's been on my mind a lot lately. Well, actually, it more or less the last 15 years, I've kind of been thinking about this constantly. The CCC sent out their minutes the other day. Pádraig Gaffney sent out the minutes from the CCC meeting, which is great. It's always good to read through the minutes of the CCC and our quarterly meetings, and you get a fair idea of what's going on in the sport and so on. But on the CCC's minutes from their January meeting, which was an online thing, there's just before any other business, it says upcoming events. Now, these are nationally organized events. I'll just give you the list quickly. Four Wall Cheese Ace Festival. Four Wall Men's and Ladies Senior Singles All Ireland Championships. Four Wall Gael Lynn. 2026 Congress. Four Wall Men's and Ladies Senior Singles All Ireland Championships. Getting into the latter stages of it. Juvenile All Ireland Finals. Cumann na Bunscoil National Finals Fun Event. Juvenile Team Events. Men's and Ladies Senior Doubles All Ireland Championships. Four Wall and Softball Féile. Men's and Ladies Doubles All Ireland Championships. This is the ordinary adult grades. World Wall Ball Team Ireland Trials for men's senior and junior singles places. World Wall Ball Team Ireland Trials for men's senior doubles places. 2026 Junior Softball Junior Nationals. World Wall Ball Team Trials for ladies senior singles places. 2026 Wall Ball Community Games. 2026 Softball Interclub Championships. World Wall Ball Team Ireland Trials for ladies senior doubles places. So some of these trials are taking several weekends. Juvenile Softball All Ireland Championships semi-finals and finals. Softball Adult Nationals. That list that I've just given you brings you from mid-January to the end of May. So 5 months out of a 12-month year. It's absolutely,
Chock-a-block.
completely and utterly mental what we have done in the sport. You could use the phrase someone needs to shout stop. Some people have been shouting stop for a long time. And it's time now, as I said on the pod the last day, for the decision makers now to just be brave and just say, I don't care about the noise. There's a duty of care here to the sport. It's shambolic. I think, did I mention last week about saying to my friend who doesn't know much about handball that we have Ruby Masters and Emerald Masters and Diamond Masters and Silver Masters and Golden Masters? And he genuinely thought I was taking the piss. He was like, they don't. And I said, they do. And he said, I said, there's actually another called over 70s. And he says, it's the only overage grade that doesn't have a precious stone. They have run out of precious stones to attribute to these grades. The over 70s is called over 70. Everything else is named after something you might wear on a necklace. It's absolutely mental. And it's a knock-on effect of it. It's not just the dilution of an All-Ireland medal. I won a Masters B All-Ireland singles and doubles there 2 years ago. It was great. It was lovely to win it. It was nice to win the doubles in particular with Eddie. But I said to Eddie at the start of it, and he agreed with me, if we're lucky enough to win this, we're not going to be going around bragging and letting on that we have really achieved something of huge note here. And I know some people are going to be offended to say
This has
that.
been a thing for years, hasn't it? It's that conversation because, you'd meet someone randomly on the street, and they're like, "Oh, what are you up to?" I was actually at the All Ireland Senior Handball Finals at the weekend in Croke Park, and I was like, "Oh, I know a fella. He won the All Ireland there a couple of years ago, and it's Johnny John from down the road there. Geez, he's won a load of All Irelands. He's probably the senior champion himself." I was like, "Well, he's senior, yeah. He's 65." But it's that conversation. It's like no one knows the All-Ireland senior champion because it was Paul Brady for years. But they all know some fella down the road that won an All-Ireland title in the 55B.
Yeah, but it goes
There's
back to
that, but that's
last
only one
week.
aspect of it though, lads. Because that's the dilution of the worth of an All-Ireland medal is one of the greatest acts of self-sabotage we've inflicted on ourselves. But that's just one aspect of it. Like I saw a fella that recently, and it was written on social media that he was the All Ireland champion. There was no and you could see a stream, dozens of comments from non-handball people on there go, wow, what an achievement. I'm not going to say what grade he won, but it was an overage
One.
B. I'm not.
Oh, that would be Stephen, you're mean.
It was an overage B grade. So, like, he's not the All Ireland champion. If you're going to say that, because within that list that I've just read out there, like, and like that's a preposterous list of competitions.
It's not including all the grades that are being played off. That's
W
just.
within that, like a juvenile All Ireland. So that's not including what's been played at the provincial level. This is all national. So they're nationally organised from All Ireland semi-finals onwards. So you've all the provincials. But there's 16 juvenile All-Irelands within that in the 40 by 20. There's 40 adult and masters All-Irelands in 40 by 20 alone. Like, we still have one wall in which we have the one wall nationals, and then we have a one wall All-Ireland, and now people are looking for a one wall doubles All-Ireland. Then we have hardball, then we have softball to come. Like, it's absolutely bonkers. But the biggest problem with it for me is that is the drain it is on resources. Because to me, I compare it to ivy on a building. It's strangling. It is choking the sport. If you let ivy grow on a building, it'll eventually overgrow and obscure everything. It's the only thing you can see. Nothing else can grow. And that is what this preponderance of grades is. Like, it's actually laughable. Like in World Championships handball, the last time we didn't run an under 23, but for the previous few World Championships, there was an under 23, which means you're only technically an adult for 12 years in handball, right? Because underage has been brought up to under 23, overage has been brought down to over 35. It's going to reach the point where they meet. Are we going to get a stage where it's like under 27 and over 28? Like, who are we codding here? But the thing is, every one of these matches that we've just referenced, every one of them more or less requires two or four players. It requires a referee. There's going to be, especially if it's kids or if it's whatever, there's going to be people there supporting. There's going to be people there coaching. So you're talking about hundreds of matches, maybe thousands of matches, and that means thousands and thousands of man hours when you consider the people who are at these games, who are playing in them, who are refereeing them, who are organizing them, who are doing the fixtures. And
Except
these are
right.
thousands and thousands of man hours in a sport where resources are limited, hours that could go into something else. So competition is the lifeblood of any sport, but it can also absolutely poison the sport if it's allowed to run unchecked, which is what we have done, and it
Like
leads to
the
this.
other side of that is that we're not actually promoting games or matches locally and growing an ecosystem locally because everything's gone to national. So we did first county senior championship there, we played it off last weekend, a week ago, and we played over a couple like 3 days, quarterfinals, semi-finals, and finals. And the players are great. And in fairness, we got had it short notice. We like I my the reason that we were thinking of is that the counties that are doing really well in Ireland at the moment. They have really strong county championships within their own counties, and they're growing their own inter-county competitions. But like trying to find a weekend that didn't interfere with the national championship between December and May, the only one I could pick out was the weekend after Paddy's weekend, because the team of sixes and the provincial team of tens and all that were on. But like that was the only championship weekend I could pull to get it all run off, and I had to try and get it. So it put a lot of pressure on because there's no free weekends to do something locally
There's
anymore.
also just on that as well about, I'd be very careful not to be disrespectful here if I was to say what I was really thinking, but
Spit it
these
out.
people, these grades, I called them last week the recreational grades. I play in them. I'm happy to play in them, but there's no illusion to me that I'm ever going to be a handballer. I'm someone who plays the equivalent of five-a-side football, but what you're doing by letting that illusion go on that this is a real sport insofar as real competitive sport by having all your finals in Croke Park and putting on the big show and everything is really, really important. What you're actually doing is you're strangling the game from its potential for coaching and for administrators. If all these players are being led on to believe that you're still an elite player, I know it's over 75s, you're still an elite player because there's an All Ireland at the end of it. You're strangling that opportunity for them to get coaching and for them to get into like secretarial roles or treasurer roles. There's a massive gap there, and
I
handball
don't. I
needs to
think
be
they're
comp
more of a different breed than that, Stephen. They like there are loads and loads of handballers out there, and we all know this. They just want to play handball. They're not going to do those other bits.
But like, and Handball is a sport, and I rail against this. It does need to be commended as well for the longevity that people play for. There is an element that, this is from a health point of view and from a societal point of view, to keep people playing is very, very important. But the difficulty is that is now strangling the younger players coming through. It's stopping that game. We have zero respect for the senior finals. The senior finals are being played at the same time as overage grades. That's just scandalous. You have to put a bit of respect on a senior final. I've no problem with playing, right? Senior quarterfinals are on, play other grades at the same time. But a senior final is on. It's preposterous that you would go, I think it would play the over 45s or whatever it was. I don't know what grade was on at the same time. But we're strangling that part of it. But we're also strangling. There's no pathway for these people. If you look at hurling or football, when a fella or a girl finishes playing, the obvious route for them then is to go and they become a selector
You're
with a
back
team
to
or a coach. That's not happening in handball because these lads are being told for years, actually, you can keep playing now and you can go and win your whatever grade it is. And that's real sport. It's not real sport. It's recreational sport. It's brilliant. It's great. Delightful news. But that's not elite sport. Elite sport is, I would argue, the top four or five intermediates who can make senior and the senior players. Everybody else, it's recreational. And enjoy it.
But like that you're taking out like there's players that are in a development path to get to the senior level, not playing recreational handball. And then there's players that you're saying they're playing. Brendan Fleming is a good example of someone that made the grade at senior late, but he wasn't playing recreational handball before that when he was playing junior. He was taking it serious, you know. So he just won a junior title and an intermediate title in his late 30s.
Here,
Yeah, but
put
the
it like this,
exceptions are the
Les.
rule, though.
What about this? To be the best handballer in Ireland over the age of 40, to me, that's a great achievement. To be the best
Mad.
handballer in Ireland over the age of 50, over the age of 60, hats off. That's a great achievement. But
Absolutely.
to be the best handballer in Ireland between the ages of 45 and 49, minus any player who has won certain things. It's just not. And I say that as someone who won a Masters B medal, and I was delighted to win it. But I wouldn't insult or denigrate the sport by going around saying that this was some outrageous achievement. It wasn't. So I think I'm well placed to say that because I'm denigrating my own medal there. But that's just the reality. Like, we have to live in the real world here. You are where you are because you've done what you've done. This is why
You
we're
see,
in this
and this
situation.
isn't anyone that went to the Arsenutheron after. When you bring 30 all our 30 world champions to Arsenutheron to meet the president, you're like, what are you doing after a world championships? You're like that everyone can't go, but they were going to. Was it after the 2012 Worlds? And like half of the crowd that were in Arsenutheron were handballers that day, tons of them.
Look,
So.
it's embarrassing, and we're involved in the promotion of the sport. It's really embarrassing when you're trying to promote the fact that we have a world championships, and when 90% of the grades are won by an Irish person beating an Irish person in the final. It's not a world championships. It's just not. Like, that's what who are we codding there? The one wall has the potential to be that, but we're way behind in international handball anyway. Like, I think there was a sense in the GAA that look, we'll kind of bring the CIJB under our wing now. They're way bigger than GAA handball. They're far bigger. Like, they're not as big as the GAA, but they're that scale of an organization. But there's a couple of funny ones I was going to mention about the general drift in things. So I was Ulster secretary for 2 years. About 7 or 8 years ago, and I got completely burned out from it. I couldn't handle it anymore, and I packed it in. It was actually doing my head in because of I just thought I couldn't do it. You're on CCC, you're on Ard Coir, you're organising Ulster meetings, you're organising everything. But the one that really killed me was I used to have to organise the Ulster colleges, second level colleges competition when I was Ulster secretary. I used to have to take a day off work to go and referee the games, but. In fairness, I kicked up about that at a meeting, and I think that started the ball rolling, and eventually the All-Ireland Colleges competitions were dropped, which is a shame. There
Yeah,
should be still all our colleges.
that'd be a really good development tool for like an extra competition for some of those kids
The
that.
pro there should be, and every other sport is represented at school, second level schools competition. But the problem is that everything was going back on the same number of volunteers, to the point where I remember using this analogy, right? So we were buying the medals, we were doing the draws, I was taking a day off work to go and referee the games. We were organizing everything. Every part of it we were organizing. The schools were just arriving. Teachers were arriving, oftentimes late. And I remember saying at an Ulster meeting, let's say if there was a big industrial estate in Belfast with like seven or eight factories or businesses there, and you just so happened to have a few handballers, and someone threw up a wall, and all of a sudden you've got an inter-firms league, which you used to have in football and hurling. Does that mean that we run that? Do we organize that too? Where does it stop? We are trying to be all things to all men. If you're interested in handball, we will run an All-Ireland for you, and we will load that onto the same overboard, burned out volunteers. Now, here's one of the funniest and in a way saddest stories I can remember in handball. So the Gael Lynn Cup, the Gael Lynn competition, obviously it's a boy and a girl under 13, singles and doubles, or they play singles and I think they play mixed doubles, and it's supposed to be run through Irish, like everything else in handball, like the Irish Open, just drifting to be called the Irish Nationals. No one knows exactly when this happened, but it just drifted, and now people forgot that it's the Irish Open, and now it's sort of veering in on the All Ireland, and you don't even know what the Nationals is anymore.
And I want
But
on the Irish national thing, I wonder if they were trying to attract the Americans over with the idea that you could be the US and Irish national champion. Like.
do we really think that much thought went into it? Possibly, it's unlikely.
Maybe
But
not.
on the Gael Lynn thing, I remember talking to someone in Croker, in the old regime in Croker, and he told me that they contacted Gael. I think they just contacted Gael Lynn out of courtesy to say, "Do you want to send someone to the finals?" Because they hadn't sent anyone to the finals, and they said, "Finals of what?" And the staff member in Croker said, "Gael Lynn handball competition." They didn't know it existed. They didn't know that. Gael Lynn, as an organization promoting the Irish language and so on, set up a handball tournament, a very unique format to it, way back whenever. I think that was set up. I think it replaced Top Ace actually in the early 80s. That Gael Lynn tour. I think that Gael Lynn tournament, that's
But
where it came from.
the original Gaelin was obviously an open
Yeah,
format
the.
back in the 60s, you know.
Oh,
It's I know it's
sorry. It replaced the original Gael Lynn. That's what it was. But somewhere along the line, Gael Lynn, who set this up, lost interest because handball had come in and started taking it over and started trying to run it like just another All Ireland, like everything else. Why not throw it in the mix? What are we throwing in the soup today, lads? I'll throw another one in there. It won't do any harm. It'll add a bit of flavour. And eventually, Gael Lynn forgot about it. So we were running. We're like the Japanese soldiers running around in the rainforest in the 70s, thinking the war is still on. It's absolutely insane. Stop it. Someone has to stop this madness in our sport.
But like the problem is then when you try and cut anything, there's and like trying to get change in handball is very, very hard. Like so I proposed a proposal which was shot down at county level for a motion to change all the B grades. So to try and cut down the amount of administration on the game is really important. Even if you are putting it back on the counties, you know, that would be better than what we're going through at the moment. But changing the B grades to the years that end in five and the A grades to 40. So you basically got 10 years of B grades, so between 35, 45, 55. And then the A grades are the 40s, 50s, 60s. But you try and I probably started by trying to, I probably explained it wrong by saying, you know, we're killing ourselves. We're killing the administration of the game. There's too much pressure on the likes of a Michael Lang in Connacht, who's doing outrageous amount of work. And then obviously the rest of the guys in the Connacht Council or whatever, the same in Ulster, the same in Leinster, you know, or Munster. And we're getting to a stage where we're looking around and I'm like, some of these grades aren't being contested in Connacht. So but we're sending people into All Ireland semi-finals with no matches. Nonsense. That just shouldn't be the case. But if you do it every 10 years, even if you do a B grade, because I don't think you'll get rid of the B grades, it's too much of a step. But if you changed it to B grades at 35, 45, 55, and A grades at 40s, 50s, and 60s, then you've got 10 years of a gap. You've got deeper competitions and you've got more interprovincial championships that creates better handball. I don't know.
I think 35 should go. That should be binned forevermore. But like you can think of any idea you think of in handball, there's going to be an impediment in the way of it, and the main impediment is going to be where do you play it and who runs it? Because everyone is just every weekend is dominated by national competitions, and every official is essentially their diary is dominated by national competitions. I remember at the end during COVID. Sending an email in to some of the lads that were on committees at the time with a suggestion that outdoor it became clear that outdoor handball was going to come back before indoor handball, and like we were all go crying out to get back playing the game at the time. I remember sending a suggestion that every county should be asked, cut your cloth to suit. So every county is asked or given the opportunity to run an outdoor event in within their own county, and from that they can put forward winners, but very limited grades, like
Yeah.
senior, junior, minor, maybe an under 16. That was it, and maybe one master's grade. That was it. And but every, I mean, there might be a three-wall court in Cavan. There might be a four-wall court in Mayo. There might be whatever. But you cut your cloth to suit. You organise it and run it whatever way you want it. One game to 25, a time game, 5-11s, whatever you wanted. You put the names forward, and in the meantime, Croke Park. My suggestion was that Croke Park would identify a venue, but it'd be somewhere that would be attractive to people. So we've got some outdoor courts in Cavan, but they're not places that people want to go for a weekend or anything like that. They're just small rural places without much in the way of amenities and so on. So maybe have it in Achill. Like there's a deadly outdoor court in Achill, or maybe have it at the one in Wexford on the beach. What do you call it? The Cullenstown Strand or somewhere like
Cullenstown,
that. So basically the idea was that this was going to be a big outdoor event, and that each county would be encouraged to promote this as it is, as an outdoor thing. Get some guy with a drone, get the local paper, really make it a big thing, bring the community to the handball alley.
it's impossible to do that with such a stacked claw.
You just can't do
Without
it.
it's impossible to do. It's impossible to get anything local when, say I'm the county secretary and I can't run anything in the county because it's always going to clash with someone that's going to be playing a national championship. And you can do it and you play, but like there's young lads from Newport that have done quite well in the last year. They should be getting some exposure to playing players at a championship level in the county. It'd be a great development for them maybe next year when they're closer to 17 or whatever, but maybe they could play a junior championship in the county or whatever, and that might bring them on because they're playing players that are seasoned adults. But like you can't, it's so hard to plan and organize these championships because you almost have to play them midweek all the time. Not every player is around midweek, blah 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 blah. You know the problems there yourself.
A rule that came in was that there had to be at least eight entries in a grade before they'd run it, which was a good rule. And I mean, there were the wailing and gnashing of teeth that went on when that rule came in. Like there were practically lads ringing up Liveline about that because they weren't going to get a crack at their easily won medal. But they rolled back on that. They had the hard bit done. They had that rule brought in, and they had sort of faced down the criticism, and then they rolled back on that and said, "Oh, for doubles." We'll interpret the rule to say that a doubles team is two entries. So that's it. There needs to be a little bit more backbone now, powers that be. It's established. It is established. There's some people that are in the sport to win handy medals. Fine. That's fine. That's just a small number of people. It's established now that I think that the vast majority of people who are involved in the day-to-day running the game, who think about the game, think about the sport, where it was, where it is, and how it got here, have accepted that this is a big problem, and it ha they ha we have to take the bull by the horns. But from what I understand, I think that realization is there in Crow Park as well. So hopefully it'll be addressed because it's
Well, like the players
so
want
bad.
legitimacy as well, though, and they can only get that if we start reforming the sport and the way it's seen, because the way it's seen from the outside, it's a bit of a mess, like.
So, Chris, I'm going to jump in there. It's not just the way it's seen from the outside, it's the way it's seen from the inside.
Yeah,
You
but
know,
like.
and I know I harped on about it. Putting finals on when the senior final is on, that sets the tone for what we consider important. So it's from the inside and it's from the outside. And I'm just going on from your stories, Paul, about, you know, meeting people and All Ireland finals and the usual. The only one that I there obviously you've the usual that nearly every teacher you meet they'll say, Oh, my grandfather was an All Ireland champion. Yeah, of course he was, yep. One time coming home from Kilglass, we're in a chipper in Longford at 1:30 in the morning. It had been a late evening. And this fella saw myself and another man wearing handball tops. He says, Oh, my friend's an All-Ireland champion. Two of us raised the eyes up to heaven and go, Oh, yeah. Of course he goes, yeah. He says, Do you know Charlie Shanks? The two was like, Oh, for f sake, I think she that's happened for the first time either of us had ever experienced that after however long in the game. I was worrying, lads, we'd struggle to find stuff to talk about on a quiet week. I'm going to move you on because we still have the doubles to talk about. Draws came out during the week for the O'Neills.com senior doubles. Where do you want to start, the men's or the women's?
Well, I think I to be honest, even looking at the women's draw, like there's six entries, which is obviously, look, we've had years where it's almost a straight final in the senior championship. But like Sienna and Neve are very, very strong favorites. I think I do, and Martina and Aisling, I know, won the senior doubles in the Big Alley last year. But it's that four wall title is, I can't see anyone even getting remotely close to Sienna and Eve. Obviously, depending on where Sienna's head is at, I'm sure she has a lot to after the senior singles final. It's a couple, she's not they're not playing till the 18th of April, so it's a good long time for her to kind of get over that and get into the right headspace for the championship. But I can't see anyone getting even remotely close in the women's. I don't think it's even going to be a contest for them, to be honest.
I have heard on the grapevine that there's at least one dropout from that draw as well. So, but it would be
That's
down to five. We'd be down to five. Pretty nice to see Katrina Casey back in. I kind of hope that we might see Katrina come back and play the doubles with Aisling at least. But obviously, didn't happen. She's in. Aisling keeps playing with Carmel Kelleher. I agree with you that Sienna and Niamh are red hot favourites. Answer me this, lads. Have they done away with the rule where you can pick any partner within the province?
Don't think so, no. I think that's
I
still
think
going.
so. Yeah, because they're in fairness, all the players who are entered with a player from their own county. Because that's one rule that I just thought was complete sacrilege. I cannot believe that rule was passed. I thought it was just
But they do it.
brilliant.
They try. I know they try. Like I think we're in a position in the ladies' divisions and in the ladies' game, where there's 12 or 13 solid intermediate seniors, and then there's like a chasm, there's a massive gap, and then you've got loads of junior B's, junior C's, and like you know there's a few of them that are kind of coming through, and they're not, you know, like you've got some talent coming through in drips and drabs, but there is the ladies game is kind of two tier now. There's the handful at the very top, some intermediate seniors just behind them, and then there's not much going on in between, you know, if I'm perfectly honest. And I'm not sure if the way that's work the way that it's going is actually developing the game the way they wanted it to. I think that maybe the guys in Crow Park would argue different, but I'm not sure because the amount of walkovers is colossal in the women's game.
I know there was some research done. It was on the minutes as well that were distributed. I think John Walsh did some good research on it. I'll actually dig that
Walkovers are
out.
down, I think. I think were
Yeah,
walkovers down.
walkovers were down per, as per his research. But personally speaking, I thought it was a dereliction of duty by the powers that be to say to the ladies, "Oh, come up with your own system."
That's
On
not the
what
way it
planet?
works.
Sorry?
That's not the way it's going to
No,
work.
on what planet is that a way you do anything? You wouldn't dream of doing it in football. Imagine if you put together a committee of footballers and said, "Or you decide what way we're running the Sam Maguire this year." It wouldn't happen. So I personally, I know there's a lot to be said for it, but at the end of the day, like, I just think it's another massive logistical undertaking organized nationally, this ladies' championship. And you had the absolute farcical situation where when Martina withdrew from her game, that Cara McKelleher couldn't, she, if she wanted to proceed in the draw, then play a senior quarter final, then she had to give up her intermediate, which she ended up winning anyway, so she made the right decision. But I mean, that was
Like there's
farcical.
provisions for intermediate players to play senior. I don't know why they just didn't, even just for the balance of the draw and making sure that we had four quarter finals, give her the option to play the senior and the intermediate championship.
Yep.
Like what did like And I know there would have been an argument from the other players that did drop into the intermediate championship that basically Carmel would have been getting two cracks at it. But like, it's not her fault that she got a walk. She effectively got a walkover and then she picked to drop down. Now, I know it's not easy because they're at the moment, like they're almost between two stools with the women's draw. And look, if John says there's evidence for walkovers being down, whatever, this just still feels like there's a lot of walkovers, you know.
Paul, you were saying there with the rule that they changed, there had to be eight entries, and then they interpreted it as two players or one entry equals two players. If we were to go by the way you were saying it should be done, there'd be no senior ladies championship this year in doubles.
There's very
It's
few
just.
counties that have two senior ladies to play, or two a senior and an intermediate even. Like, well, Aisling and Martine, that's a junior player and a senior player.
It's a fair
So,
point. It's a fair point that, like, that,
very
but
difficult to put them together
it's
that
a
way.
different one. But, like, all that needed to happen, the obvious thing, the obvious flaw in that rule about being able to pair up with another player within your own province is all that needed to happen was two elites combine, which we hadn't seen. But you talked about the tiers, Chris. Like, if we're saying the top tier is Fiona, Sienna, Martina, Katrina, players like that, maybe five or six players like that. Imagine if Fiona and Sienna decided that they were going to play doubles together, for example, or if Martina, and not that Niamh is weak, don't get me wrong. That's why they're Galway favourites, because they've got two of the players in that group. But let's say
Two things
two
in
senior
front.
singles champions decide to pair up. Let's say Katrina and Martina decided to pair up. It would make a laugh of it, like, so that's the obvious flaw. Like, we legislated for that into existence, that possibility. So it's a shocking. Here, I can reach out to the piece here on the CCC Minutes about this system if you want. I'll give it to you quickly. This is in correspondence with the CCC. Ladies Handball Survey analysis of entries compared to 2025. In total, 19 responses have been made to the survey. Six in favour of maintaining, six neutral on opinion, five to revert to old championship format. Two responses thought we could devise an alternative system. Now, six are in favour of maintaining. 19 is a small sample size, but only six are in favour of maintaining this. At the end of it, they decided to maintain it. So that, to me, that was an unusual outcome, considering, regardless of what way you phrase it, two talk about an alternative system, six were neutral, five wanted the old way. Six out of 19 were in favour of it. Okay, John Walsh also underwent a deep dive into the numbers and permutations of the system, and his report showed that the entries are up overall, and as a proportion, the amount of withdrawal was down. And when injury was taken into account, only in 2026, four walkovers was the result. Now, sir, I'm not.
But like it taking out injuries, what does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know why else anyone else, what reason anyone else was
Everyone
given
comes out
for.
and say that they're injured, like.
There's a flaw, which you mentioned Charlie Shanks. Shanks pointed out to one time, forcefully about flaw in our rules, which was that at the time, if you didn't give 24 hours notice for withdrawing from a senior fixture, you got fined. But he was like, what happens if you genuinely get injured 24 hours before a game? Because he was in that situation. He got injured in the gym or something, and 24 hours before a game and had to pull out. If you're genuinely injured 24 hours a game, you get fined. Like, come on, like, holy God. Anyway, it says, when injury was taken into account only in 2026, four walkovers was the result. I agree, the injury shouldn't. That's a funny line. Those players who in previous years fell to a lower grade than they entered have failed to regain their position in their original division, with the exception of one player. It remains the case that nobody has ever won an intermediate junior or junior B singles title more than once in four wall or soft wall. It has only ever happened once that a player has lost a grading game and gone on to win a lower division in the same year. Is
Right.
that right?
Lost the grading game and
Grading game,
then.
sure. I have to think about that one. It has also only happened twice that a player has jumped two divisions in one year, but those players still maintain their position in both those grades. Based on all that, CCC have considered, they voted unanimously in favour of retention of the new format, but added to that any tweaks that may be necessary to make the overall experience more attractive or meaningful should be taken.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we could just put first item on the agenda of meeting. Say any tweaks that are needed should be taken. I propose that. Okay, I'll second that. Actually, we do need a bit more detail than that. Like, of course, anything that's going to improve it. Basically, what they're saying, anything that's going to improve it, we
We're
should be
doing it.
fair for that. Yeah, like I'd like to know what those things are. Like, personally speaking, I don't like the system. I'm like the majority of the 19 people who answered the survey. I'm not openly in favor of that system continuing. I think there's certain.
I think we'll have to reach out to one of the girls to come on, and maybe Kier Mahon be a good shout to come on and talk about whether, because like again from the girls I've spoken to, that most of them are neutral. They just want to play, like, so. But I don't know if it's actually working, and I don't know if it's like, obviously entries are up across the board. Every grade has more entries this year than they had last year. I think across every grade in men's and women's handball. But is that a reflection on the system they put in place, or that there's just more handball being played at the moment? You know,
I think
I don't.
handball is generally cyclical, and you have to be careful of thinking everything has been done really well when numbers go up, because numbers do go up and down in handball, and it's to do more with people within clubs organizing things and getting things done. For example, Chris, you're county secretary there in Mayo, but 10 years ago you might have been living in Dublin or something. So you've that sort of cyclical, that it's a totally. That's outside of the realm of rule changes or formats or anything. That's just something that happened. And because you're the county secretary, Mayo had a county championship. Do we sit here and go, oh, yeah, no, everything's going great because look at Mayo, there's increased activity there. No, that's just a fluke. And the same happened. The same is replicated around the country. So, what about the men's senior doubles?
Glad you said it, because our half hour is turning closer to an hour now. Yeah, men's doubles.
You're very, very clued in on the time. Don't worry about it, man. You've
It's
nothing to do, and it's a Saturday. You're a teacher. Would you
a
stop?
sat listen, this is the first of my 17 days off or whatever it is. I want to
That
have a little
man,
nap.
you
As I said to you
disgust
last night on the phone, as I said to Chris on the phone last night, teaching, it beats working for a living.
me. It
To all my fellow teachers, I'm very sorry. It's a joke.
really does. Can
Right,
I just
men's
add in?
doubles. Can I just add
Oh,
in
here
there
we
as well,
go. Here
lads?
we go.
No, in fairness, I wouldn't like anyone on CCC listening to this thinking that I was sitting here throwing stones at the CCC or whatever. I was on it for a while. It's the hardest
It's
job in
great.
the sport. It's a very difficult job. Money wouldn't pay me to sit on the CCC again, because it's a really difficult job. I mean, right now, I remember trying to seed the Fela at a CCC meeting, and it was a nightmare. I mean, you're working off limited information. You know, and that's just one. That was just one meeting in that year. Like, they have a really difficult job. So while we're kind of poking fun a wee bit, I mean, it is a tough job. Like, and I appreciate the job they do as well.
Yeah, that like obviously, we're I maybe we're not providing as many examples of solutions here as well. But I know there'll be plenty of people that'll be listening, that'll be disagreeing with us, and they're quite happy with the way that there's loads of grades and there's loads of opportunities for people to win. Like handball is still very hard to win at. It's very difficult to win those B grades in the doubles and singles because they're very competitive. At provincial level and All Ireland level, if you win an All Ireland B title, you're a good handballer. You're like, there's no doubt about it. You are a good handballer, and you've earned your right to be up in playing some serious handball with the big players. But in trying to legitimize the sport, and if we really wanted to grow, and we want, like, we have to create superheroes in our elite athletes at the top end of the spear, the tip of the spear. And it's very difficult to do that when you've got so many grades. And maybe we have to, and it's very hard to promote locally because there's so many national competitions. We're
Here's a
just.
question. Here's a question. I think we have about 10 or 12,000 members in the sport. If we had 100,000 members, would the grades be okay then? So is it the
Yeah.
principle of the grades that we're against, or is it the effect that they're having? Because personally speaking, I think if we had 100,000 members, I wouldn't have as much of a problem with the grades. It's the it, for me, we don't have that critical mass, so we're at this point where these grades are really stopping the development of the game. That's the problem. It's not, we're not, I, well, speaking for myself, I'm not anti-handball, I'm not anti-competition. It's at this moment in time, we don't have enough people involved in our sport to justify it.
I don't know. I think if you had 100,000 members, I think it would mean so much more to win a grade. You know, a lot of the grades, if it feels like if you hang around long enough and, you know, beat Father Time, you're going to win one. But yeah, give us 100,000 members and we'll have other problems to deal with first and foremost. But moving on to the men's doubles.
Yeah,
Chris,
it's
you had them open there.
I
Going
do,
to talk us
yeah.
through some of them.
Interested, obviously, Peter and Patrick Funchen, the current champions, they're playing Paddy Murphy and Desi Keegan. Desi's back playing a bit the last couple of weeks. He played quite well in the senior singles championship. Paddy as well obviously got to the junior semi-final. And I'm sure, but like in reality, they're playing in Crinkle the Friday the 10th, I think, and they like Peter and Patrick are very strong favorites there. And to be honest, that top bracket, I out of all the teams, so they'll be Peter and Patrick be strong favorites against Mayo. We've got Owen McGinty and Rambo playing Caelan Daly and Sean Kerr. I think that could be a really interesting team. You never know. I thought Caelan played really well. I was refereeing this game against David Walsh. I thought Caelan was going really well. He stuck in the game for long periods. And Sean Kerr's like he's a proper athlete. Like
Box office.
he is unbelievable on his day. So
With
I'd imagine.
the two Monaghan lads there, I don't know. I'd say that could be the biggest size difference between two doubles partners I've ever seen. I'd
Oh
never seen.
no, no, there was one
Oh
in the
no, you're going.
there was one in the big alley, Tipperary lads, a couple of years ago. It was Delaney and
Oh,
no,
Mullen.
it was Delaney and Aidan O'Flaherty, I think it was. I played Aidan before. He's a big man, way over 6 feet, and his doubles partner Delaney was, you know, he could have been riding out for Aidan O'Brien, like.
Well,
It was.
I saw Ramona's playing on Sunday last week. I was up at the Monaghan Doubles County Championships. Brilliant day out. 20 minute or 15, 20 minute games or first 15. Cracking format. The way he hits the ball, he's a different animal. Like, as far as I know, he's entered, is it the Junior B doubles as well? Which is a strange little quirk that he's in either the Junior or Junior B doubles and the Senior doubles. Not saying he'll beat the two Tyrone, or they'll beat the two Tyrone lads, but he's an animal of a man.
I'm gonna have time
Yeah.
to go through every team, lads. We'll have to save that for next week, but can we call the semis?
I think
Functions.
Peter, I think the two functions get through.
Yeah.
That other core set of core files would be interesting. David Walsh and Tyga O'Neill, you think are favorites, but Gavin and Orne they're
Yeah.
solid, you know.
O'Neill and Rennie are no bad team
Yeah.
either. Rennie's like Rennie really is very he's very aggressive player. He's very competitive. Like he'll mix it big time on the right there with anyone.
Yeah. So are you calling the Antrim lads to beat Gavin and Orne?
I know I'll have to give the local players a vote, especially now that the Anglo Celt is covering Monaghan as well. I'll go with the
Yeah.
political vote. Gavin and Orne. David Walsh and Tyga O'Neill are an unknown quantity there. Like
Yeah.
Tyga hasn't been that active on the tournament circuit or anything, but I mean he's a hell of a player. And they did win an intermediate doubles together.
Yeah, and in fairness to Ty, like I know he was in Australia. I was chatting to him but the day of the intermediate singles finals, I was chatting to Ty up in Croke Park that day. And he was I think he was in Australia last year, so he hasn't been playing that much, but in fairness he always like he keeps himself in shape. Himself and David have played for years together. Tig was unbelievable at 18. 18 or 19. Was that the year he got to the Nationals final when he was 18? He was
Did he?
he
I
I think he
remember.
won the minor I think he won the minor singles as well that year, did he?
He won the minor singles against Sean Kerr, I think.
Yeah. So like you throw him
So
back
we're
in.
calling the semis then as Chris, you're going for the functions and
I
who?
think Oren and Gavin will get to the semis.
Well.
Yeah, Chris Doyle and Gary Donoghue, good pair from Coolboy, which the Cork lads will be favourites there. Oren and Gavin. If they can get through the Antrim lads, I think they could beat the Cork lads. There won't be much in that. I think Monaghan, Antrim, or Cork could all make a semi from that section. I think maybe Wicklow lads that would be the outsiders of those four. But I'll go with the Cork lads.
I'll
What
go with
about
the
you?
Functions and the two Antrim lads.
I'm going with the
Oof,
Functions
for
in
the.
the top section.
Yeah, and then the two
Then
Antrim
you know
lads
what?
are
You're
going off.
guaranteed the Wicklow lads will come through that section now, and we'll all be wrong. Then you've got
Desi and Paddy will be no pushovers.
no, again on their day, they like Paddy is an enigma. He's so talented. Like we all like, if you've seen Paddy strike the ball left and right, he's very, very good. I just think Peter and Patrick are just such a seasoned doubles team, and they're champions. I thought Peter actually had a good singles championship. I know, like losing to Nash in the tiebreaker is no harm. Obviously, he won the nationals down in Kilkenny. I just think Peter and Patrick in that, I think they'll be very much gunning to bring the title back to Kilkenny.
So after saying that we won't go through every team and we're here all day, we've now gone through every team, and that's it.
Actually,
We're a
no,
draw.
got time. Well, we might as well do the rest of them anyway. We've got on the other side of the draw, we'll go with the number two seeds are Daniel Relihan and Michael Hedigan. They're playing Colin Corbett and Niall Bolton. And in the other quarter final in that section is Rory Grace, Jerry Coonan versus Gary McConnell and Brian Carroll. So out of those four lads,
Let's see,
what do
it's
you
going to be
think?
going for Parker Mead.
Cork.
Clare lads are favourites in the top section. Hot favourites.
Yeah.
That's the other Clare lads. Yeah.
Yeah, Jermuth and Colin Crane. And they've got Seamus Keneally and Conor Noon. And Gavin Buggy and Mikey Berry playing Michael Gregan and Jerome Willoughby. Michael Gregan and Jerome Willoughby are a bit of a sleeper in that section. They're not easily beaten. Like two tough players. But I still think Jermuth and Colin will make
Three
the
time,
semi final.
three-time champions.
Yeah.
They're red hot favourites for me. And bottom half, Carroll and McConnell, obviously former champions. Relihan and Hedigan, former champions. So that side of the draw is a lot stronger than the other side. Three former winners there. You have five.
I refereed Colin Corbett and Owen McGinty and Roscommon a couple of weeks ago in the singles. And Colin Corbett was very impressive. Big, strong lads, hits the ball really well. I think he took a game off Jim and Nash in the county senior final in Clare as well. So you like I don't think they'll beat Daniel Rowland and Michael Hedigan, but they could cause a bit of an upset and maybe take a game off them.
I don't think he
Wouldn't
took.
surprise me.
I think I saw that result. I think he had a one close game. I don't think he went
Yeah.
tiebreaker with Dermot.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe I knew he was close in one of them though.
Yeah, he was very
But
close. He got 19 or 20, I think, in one of them. I'm gonna say Clare and Cork come through there, Nash and Crehan and Relihan and Hedigan.
yeah, agreed.
yeah, I think Clare and Cork in the semi-final as well. That'd be interesting. That'd
So
be a good semi.
we better apologize to Dermot and Colin and Daniel and Michael for ruining their season. Three of us have predicted it now, so that's them fucked.
No, it'd be great to see. Like, it's great to see Colin back in. Colin's such a talented player as well. To see him back in the mix, playing the singles himself, I'm sure himself and Jim would, if they click, they could run through the whole field and win that senior championship and bring it back to Clare, you know. So, I'm sure that Jim would, after losing the singles final, will be gunning to come out and win the doubles. Yeah. Do you have a favorite for the whole lot, lads? Are you swayed by any? I know this is before we've seen a ball hit, so you could be
I think
we could embarrass
Nash and
ourselves.
Crehan. I think Nash and Crehan are the best pair in it, but obviously they haven't played together in a couple of years, so there's question marks there. But they look the heirs apparent to the Cavan fellas when they took the title off them and went on to defend it. Like they deserve to be the number one team in the country. But Cork lads beat them then in 11-10, didn't they? Tiebreaker
The
and
top three seeds, the Cork lads, the Kilkenny lads, and the Clare lads, every semi-final and final in them the last couple of years has been razor thin. There's only been a point or two in it, like 11-9, 11-10 tiebreakers all the way through.
Relihan and
Tell you,
Hedigan are a very well balanced team, like.
yeah, they're brilliant.
Yeah.
I
I
tell you, Gary and Brian won't like listening to this. Like they'll not be hard. They'll be hard bet, like.
But like with the year they won it, they went through tiebreakers out all the way through. Like they're a tough pair, but
Yeah.
very 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 experienced,
Two dogs.
very tough, and both of them will kill the ball, and you have to kill the ball in doubles, don't you?
Yeah,
It's key.
big
It's
time.
key. There's no point rallying all day in doubles. You got to put the ball away.
So that's a few people's seasons we've written off now by even talking them up at all. Lads, will we leave it there?
Sounds good to me.
Listen, thanks very much everybody for listening. Hopefully this will be our first one to go out to the other podcasts and apps as opposed to just the Kill Chat website. But this was the third episode of Between the Lines Lads podcast brought to you by Kill Chat Handball. Have a good week and we'll chat to you next week.
Campbell's a very mental game. Those are ready to leave.